Commissioner May, what do you say?
I mean, what a great day for Pensacola and John Sheldon. You know, to have Mayor Hayward, Mayor Robinson, and now Mayor Reeves. I mean, three mayors with a shared vision for a greater Pensacola. And, you know, we're just glad to be a part. You know, Mayor Robinson was on the Board of County Commissioners when I put my first Triumph Restore dollars into this. My first $1 million, we all had $1 million, or $2 million, and I put all of my money into this park. And one of it is to recognize Hollis T. Williams, the first African-American city councilman, when we created Minority Majority District. So, I mean, what a great opportunity to not only do a stormwater project, but to me, to do a human service project, that we're handling stormwater, but we are creating a vibrant city, and we're helping young people, and we're just uniting a community that was once divided. And we still got a lot of work to do, but this is certainly a step in the right direction.
So yesterday, the skate park opening. Now, when he says he put $1 million in, he does not mean into the skate park particularly. He means into the Hollis T. Williams, you know, the stormwater project. But still, yeah, it's all a part of the effort. And, you know, I got to talk to him, got to talk to Grover, of course. And actually, I thought I'd just kind of let this play out because it was interesting, as they had already done the ribbon cutting moment. And I was walking around, you know, and there's 1,000 people there. A thousand to, I don't know. I'm not very good at estimating crowds. I will acknowledge it. This goes back to the Trump crowd thing in Mobile, frankly, because I was there at the speech in Ladd Peebles, and the reports come out, there was 50,000, there was 100,000, there was 14 million people there. And I'm like, that stadium was half full and it seats this many. And I'm like, bull, you know? And I said, I don't know. I'm not really good at estimating crowd size, and it's hard to do, you know, because 2,000 could look like 10,000. But I'm like, there are this many seats, and if you do the math, it was not that big. So I always like to say, you know, I didn't count them. I'm just telling you that was 1,000 to maybe 1,200, 1,300 people. It was a lot of people there. It was packed. It was so packed that thank you. I did not feel comfortable skating. Like, I skated a little, you know, like here, a little there. And there's a lot of, like, conflict zones, you know, a lot of pedestrians running into skateboard. I mean, actually, I got hurt standing. Somebody lost a board and hit me right in the Achilles tendon. I'm like, oh, I'm not even skating and I got hurt. But it was good. It was fantastic. How old am I? 52. That's right. I skated at 52. And let me also say this before I get back to these interviews. Ain't not a one of the elected officials that said they were going to skated. Not a one. I'm the only one, and I'm not an elected official, but we had this, like, ongoing joke pact was at the grand opening of the skate park, who's going to skate? Doug Underhill said he was going to skate. He wasn't there. Jonathan Owen said he was going to skate. I didn't see Jonathan yesterday. Let's see. Ashton Hayward said he was going to skate. He said he'd maybe skate later. He didn't have his board with him. You know, Lumen, I don't remember if Lumen promised he would skate, but he did not. Grover didn't. I mean, nobody skated. The only person with a skateboard there who was elected, even Colton Wright didn't skate. Now, he didn't promise. I'm not saying he did, but he was there.
I don't know if he skates. I know he's been behind.
He's a motorbike. He asked if you could do a motorbike. No, you can't. The only person that I saw who was an elected official that had a board was Casey Jones.
Oh, good.
Casey's like, are you going to skate? I'm like, give me that board. So, yeah, sure. I think I did the first ever ollie on his board.
Oh, that's wild. So,
anyway,
that's cool.
So back to these interviews with the folks. And like I said, it was kind of funny because it was like one after the other. It was like, hey, Lumen. And then Grover's right there. Hey, Grover. And then, like, you know, hey, Ashton, you know.
So that's all great. But I know what people really want to know is, are you skating today?
I have put down a challenge to raise some money for the skate park.
That's a
and
no.
I want to do a skate challenge against Ashton Hayward, Grover Robinson, and DC Reeves. I believe that the West Side will win that skate. I'm the only one from the West Side. The other three are from the East Side. So there will be a West Side, East Side challenge. And I'm challenging the mayors. Anytime they want to come skate, I'll be here.
So he name-checked you, Grover. What do you think?
Well, this is exciting. But remember, right now, I still got to get a job so I can get some insurance before that starts. So when I get full-time insurance, I'll be ready to get
you
out
know,
there and skate.
I'm hearing an awful lot of not yes. I'm hearing an awful lot of excuse.
Well, Andrew, this is a great park. As I said in my comments, great cities have a lot of diversity of things to do, and I think that's what makes Pensacola great. And when you look at the things we did as a city, when you look at the stuff that we've done with this, with what we did at expanding soccer, what we've got coming with access to the waterfront down at Pensacola, down at Bruce Beach, the things that are coming on like the pickleball, the other stuff. We do a lot of different things, and that's what makes the city of Pensacola great, because you may not use every single thing, but one way or another, there is something for you to do in the city of Pensacola, and you will find something that you can do here. And that's what makes great cities, is making those experiences. That gets, that builds communities where people want to live. And I tell you, that, you know, I've just been all over, had a good chance to travel a lot of the U.S., and it's amazing to see. I have seen very few cities that have the energy that Pensacola has, and I think it's because of that focus on diversity of product and the things that are going. That's the kind of community people want to live in. People want to live there. You're going to find people want to do their business there. That's what makes successful communities, and we've spent a long time working on it to get here, and it's exciting just to see it come to fruition.
Well, congratulations, sir.
Oh, this is congratulations for the whole city. Thank you very much.
You bet. Good to see you. First of all, Lumen says he's got a competition against you and DC and Grover, and whoever skates the best is going to win some kind of a fundraising competition. Are you in, Mayor Hayward?
I like my odds.
I do, too.
I'll leave it at that.
Are you skating today?
Maybe this afternoon I'm going to come back. I got another meeting.
I didn't want to be here skating with so many people. I thought a danger to me or them.
We were going to have the stage to ourselves, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
I don't think that's going to happen.
So this is a big day. How do you feel?
You know, it's truly amazing, Andrew, when you think about what we started as a community back in 2010 to really create the value of a city where people want to live, work, and play. And, you know, many of us knew we lived in the great state of Florida, fastest growing state in the United States now. But when you create value like this in our area, working with DOT, all the agencies, and come together to create this value, this is a generational play.
Yeah.
You know, Hollis T. Williams and what Council Williams did, and David Williams being here, getting the grant for the Linear Park was a big deal for me. You know, you think about agencies and bureaucracy. We got the grant, I think, 8 years ago, but now it's going to finally be spent
right on
what we're doing. And to see this park come like this, these people don't just live in the city. They live in the county. They live in Santa Rosa County. They live as far as Okaloosa and Walton County over here for today and over to the west over in Mobile, Alabama. That's a big deal.
No, it's a huge day. I think my favorite part is that the skaters are just here playing right through the ribbon cutting, before, during, after. They're just here to use it, which is what I love to see.
This is one of the things I forgot to say when I was up there, was that's why I love skateboarders, because they just continue to skate.
That's right. Well, Mayor Hayward, good to see you. Congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
DC. So, one of three mayors, a three-mayor project,
yes,
bringing this to fruition. How you feeling?
Good. You know, that's, you should have mixed feelings about a three-mayor project. You know, it's good that we are collaborative, but hopefully they don't always take three administrations. But this is awesome. I mean, I know everybody's first impression when they walk in here is just how expansive it is. And
I was blown away by the size. It's huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And you see how many people are here. And, you know, it's kind of like when you've, you know, hit that vein of something that is in demand. You know, that's what you feel good about seeing this today, is hundreds and hundreds of people that have been to council meetings over the years, that have been to every way that this could be advocated for. And you've seen dozens of people, if not hundreds of people, at all these stops, and really, you know, the crescendo of today, of this is open. And you see, I mean, it's got to be, I mean, I don't know how to count heads, north of 1,000 people maybe, I don't know, 600?
That was my guess, 1,000 plus.
And so that's really cool. And this is, when we talk about placemaking, this is what we're supposed to be doing. This is how you build an amenity. We heard people that are from New Orleans that drove over just to see it, that had no affiliation with Pensacola. So the word's out there, and this is what makes you cool and what makes you unique, which I truly believe is the battlefront of economic development today.
And I've said it before, I'll say it again, one of my favorite, maybe under-noticed design features is the shade of I-110, and the fact that, you know, we have grassy areas here that are astroturf or artificial turf, which makes it great, but is necessary because of the shade. I just think the whole package of this park is a fantastic day. It's a great day for Pensacola. I'm just thrilled to be a part of it. We'll be talking to you tomorrow, of course, but
of course,
thanks for the time, and again, congratulations.
All right, absolutely. Thanks for being here.
Oh, man, it was huge. I was stunned when we did the ribbon cutting, and that was about 300 people. And I was like, 300 people came to groundbreaking. You know, just to come see some dignitaries shovel some fake dirt with some fake shovels. You know, I'm like, oh my God, this is huge. So I knew this was going to be a big deal. And yeah, no. And actually, you know, okay, I don't do a lot of this, but I'm going to take it for like one day. You ready, Candy? I'm 2-0 on big predictions this week. Number one, how many people did I say was going to be at the skate park opening? I said 1,000.
You said 1,000.
And there's 1,000 people mm-hmm. there. I also said NAS Pensacola was likely to open full-time soon, maybe this month. Opening this month.
Wow.
The exact next weekend. That's right. So
you're going to do your I told you so dance?
No, I'm not going to. A little bit. No, but the, Thursday through Sunday, they're open. And then the next Thursday through Sunday, they're open. And then the weekend after that, it's just going to be open starting on the 17th. So it's just done. That's just it. It's just going to be open. It's almost like I can't believe it's happening. It's almost like, oh my, it's been so long since the terrorist attack that we haven't had access to that base like we used to have that, and I think we kind of gone through so many false starts and we thought this was going to work and then it doesn't work. We thought this was going to happen and then it doesn't happen that it's almost like, oh, well, here we are. You know, fantastic. So, and kudos around. We're going to have Kyle Kozad, the retired Rear Admiral Kyle Kozad, former head of NETSI, and now he's the head of the Museum Foundation. So he'll be on at 6:35. So we'll talk to him about, what this means. And I think, honestly, one of the stories that's it's sort of been out there, but I think everybody's been kind of reluctant to talk about it until it's over is really how bad this has been for the museum and the lighthouse. I mean, this is like apocalyptically bad for their fundraising and attendance and all of it, because obviously, of course it is. And so for them to finally be able to get people back onto the base and, on a full-time basis and with Blue Angels practices, that's going to be one of the hiccup wrinkles is, that's going to be massive that first Tuesday when the Blue Angels are back in, and doing their practice. That's going to be a huge day. And so that's going to be the first big stress to this. But I'm confident it's going to be fantastic. Anyway, 522 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Saturdays, you get The Garden Line Encore at 9, At Home with Gary Sullivan at 10, Swan Capital at 1, Let's Go Pensacola at 4.
You have your ubulus muscle that connects to the upper dorsimus. It's boring, but it's part of my life. I'm just gonna grab this shirt if you don't mind.
2, 3, 4. Woo-hoo. 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 Woo-hoo.
Well, my heart knows it better than I know myself, so I'm gonna let it do all the talking.
Woo-hoo. Woo-hoo.
Came across a place in the middle of nowhere with a big black horse and a cherry tree.
Ooh.
You want to see what the mantra of investing in infrastructure looks like? Then next Wednesday at 9:30, we're doing a ribbon cutting for the new Pea Ridge Connector Road. That's nearly 2 miles of infrastructure. And, of course, I'm extremely proud of it because I worked on that project for over 5 years to get to this date.
That's Sam Parker, County Commissioner Sam Parker for the Pace area, talking about the Pea Ridge Connector that opens today at 9:30 this morning. There's a roundabout in it, so, man, I hope we don't have a massive pileup. we ain't going to have no roundabouts. Okay, all right. I think we'll be all right. No, it's funny because, Sam's kind of a nerd at heart.
For folks that grew up in this area, and I don't know about most people, but I would say probably most of us haven't had the opportunity to say, I drove on that road the day it opened. If for no other nostalgic cool factor, I would say I would be there if I was a member of the public. I'm probably even going to have my kids out of school that day for a blip it to come. I've told my wife I'm really thinking of that, because how often do you get to say, I was there when that road opened?
First of all, a blip it?
I think that's a sniglet. I think that's
okay.
A
fair
word.
Enough. Yeah. Fair enough. Second, look, I'm as nerdy as they come about infrastructure projects, and it was fun to ride on Three Mile Bridge the day it was going to open, before it was going to open. It's fun to drive the roundabout. And I love all of this stuff. I pay attention to all of this stuff. I don't know how cool it is to be like, oh man, I drove on that Pea Ridge Connector the very first day. Like, for a kid, I don't know. I think it's a bit much to say that that's like the cool thing they'll always remember. I'm not against it. I just think Even I am not so. I'll be up there. Ribbon cutting's at 7:30. At 9:30. I'm going to go right after the show and hope I can scoot up there by obeying the speed limit and get there in time to participate and drive it or whatever. But cool for a county commissioner. I'm not sure cool for an 8-year-old. 5:26 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Come on, what 8-year-old wouldn't love to drive
the
P-Ridge
Connector,
right? What 8-year-old
doesn't dream about seeing a road?
Absolutely. Hey, the days-long manhunt in Texas is over today. Francisco Oropesa was taken into custody Tuesday after the FBI received a tip. Authorities say the suspect was found hiding under some laundry in a closet at a family member's home. Oropesa is accused, of course, of shooting his neighbors execution style after they asked him not to shoot his gun in the front yard on Friday. The Biden administration is extending temporary legal status for Afghans that were evacuated to the U.S. after the takeover by the Taliban. CBS News reports that Immigration Services is taking applications from Afghan refugees starting in June to extend their humanitarian status. And the U.S. now sending 1,500 active duty troops to the southern border as Title 42 expires next week. Of course, they're expecting a big surge of migrants once that happens. Pentagon Press Secretary Pat Ryder says the troops, though, will not be performing law enforcement duties, but will be supporting Border Patrol.
Yeah, they're, of course, we have this, there's always a concern about domestic use of military for obvious reasons, Posse Comitatus Act and all that. But according to Fox News, top of the hour, Daryl Issa, who, frankly, honestly, I thought Daryl Issa had retired. I didn't think he was still in Congress. So I was kind of surprised to hear that. But okay. He's like, well, they're going to be doing this and this, but they're not going to be doing that. So, I think their role, it's not that it's vague. It's just that it's, they're obviously not going to be standing on the no longer existent wall with rifles protecting the border. That's not going to be happening. Although I would be all for it, frankly. But they're going to be helping with the expected surge, basically surveillance and some of the, manning some of the surveillance that's going to help Border Patrol actually interdict and protect as this surge that we all expect is coming, of course, is coming. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:29 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are getting ready to buy or sell a home, look, on the buy side, if you're, you might think, Christina Leavenworth is all about selling homes. And okay, that's true. That's the bulk of what she does. But who would you want helping you to buy a home other than somebody who is such an expert at selling because they know, she knows what's the right price for that house? What are other people going to offer? How many of them are going to come in below, at, or above list price? What do you have to offer in order to win that bid? She knows what buyers are looking for, so she knows how to give buyers what they're looking for and get you that win on the purchase. On the sell side, obviously, more than 200 homes sold last year. She knows this process cold. They do it all the time. They, they stage it, photograph it, fix up little things that you might not think would be a thing, but she's run into that issue, 20, 30, 100 times before. She knows, take care of that, and you'll make $10,000 more. Wow, how could that be? Well, it just is, because that's the kind of thing that she's familiar with. So when you want somebody to buy or sell and you want to get the best price in both directions, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, just fantastically effective at this process. 723-9158, 723-9158. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
Well, Congressman Gates is teaming up with AOC on legislation. We'll tell you about it right after Fox.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The manhunt over for the Mexican national who cops say gunned down five neighbors, including a 9-year-old boy.
Everybody played a very, very integral part in the arrest and capture of this coward.
Sheriff Greg Capers with the San Jacinto County Sheriff's Office. Cops charging Francisco Oropesa with five counts of murder. The Federal Reserve's two-day meeting wraps up today with its decision on interest rates coming at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's believed the Fed will raise rates by another quarter of a percentage point. Interest rates could reach a 16-year high. Blame inflation and climate change policies. That from National Grid, the natural gas and electricity giant, wants to raise rates for gas by 17% for New York City residential customers. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It is 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 56 right now. Partly cloudy skies in Pensacola. Congressman Matt Gaetz teaming up with Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They're introducing a bill that would block members of Congress and their families from trading stock. It's called the Restoring Faith in Government Act.
This congressional stock trading has all of the fairness of like a Leah Thomas swimming competition, and I think we should put an end to it.
And that was Gaetz speaking with Jesse Waters. Similar efforts in Congress have failed in the past. However, some high-profile probes into possible insider trading have shed some more light on that issue recently. Well, the trial got off to a shaky start for the Pensacola man accused of shooting his grandmother's boyfriend back in 2020. We get more from Joe Ford.
According to the PNJ, 22-year-old Denautica Pearson is attending his trial in a room separate from the judge, jury, and attorneys and watching on Zoom. After lashing out profanities and wearing only a suicide jacket during jury selection, he also was reportedly strapped to his chair. Judge Linda Nobles reportedly opined that Pearson was simply trying to delay the trial process by appearing to be mentally incompetent. Initially, in December of 2021, Pearson was deemed incompetent to stand trial. However, 6 months later, was deemed competent. Pearson is charged with first-degree premeditated murder in the death of 60-year-old Erskine Ware. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you, Joe. Escambia County deputies are in Century this week, assisting Flomaton police in searching a property for evidence in connection to a 2017 double murder. According to North Escambia, deputies were serving a search warrant at a home on Jefferson Avenue, which is next to an empty lot owned by Wesley Chappelle. Flomaton police say that they're looking for physical evidence in the cases of Timothy and Susan Adams that were shot inside their mobile home on College Street. Investigators say the owners of the property they're searching is not connected to the case. Well, cruises out of Mobile are going to begin soon. Tickets are now available for cruises on the Carnival Spirit, which would set out in October. The cruise liner recently also announced a series of cruises set for the 2024 and 2025 seasons. And all those packages include 5, 6, or 8-day trips to the South Caribbean. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
Beautiful day today with nice sunny skies. Temperatures warming up near 83 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 57. Nice weather will continue as you go into Thursday, high near 81. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 64. Plenty of sunshine for Friday, 81 degrees for your high. Friday night, temperatures cooling near 69. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, 57, it's partly cloudy skies here in Pensacola, 60 in Gulf Breeze, and 50 in Milton. Our next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News. Traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
It's the biggest party of the year. Unfiltered, off-kilter, and a little unhinged with PLT's Cabaret Off-Broadway. This Saturday, Cabaret's Playhouse theme transforms the theater and surrounding block into an indoor-outdoor entertainment complex, seamlessly fusing local art and celebration to showcase art as the life of the party. Come immerse yourself in the best of Pensacola's art scene. Get your tickets now before it sells out at the Pensacola Little Theater box office or online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ben McMillan, and I'm a chiropractor and the owner of Neal Clinic Comprehensive Healthcare. Are you tired of covering up your pain with medications and ready to find the source of your problem and fix it? Then tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel, live Friday mornings at 9 a.m., and I'll discuss how chiropractic care can help you. And if you miss Friday's show, you can listen to the replay Saturdays or anytime through the podcast.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get your finances in order and become financially free with Dave Ramsey. Weekdays 1 to 4 after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh,
Kathleen Taylor. She chose to have a pet. She took on that responsibility, and she failed in that responsibility, and now a man is dead. What a tragedy. And it could have been avoided. Has she locked the kennels? Has she boarded up the holes? Has she had them on a leash? Has she listened to animal control? Has she cared about the kids in the neighborhood or the visitors in her yard? You had that responsibility, and you failed, and now a man is dead.
Just the most awful story. And remember, I remember covering this when it was first happening and talking with the sheriff about it, and, you know, kind of like we sort of thought we knew the situation, but then, of course, through the course of their investigation, you learn so much more, and it's, you know, obviously the outcome is not worse than we knew, but the, you know, the background and the behavior that led up to that horrible outcome is way worse than any of us really suspected. Yesterday, we had a chance to talk to Sheriff Simmons, Scammy County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, good to have you. Let's talk about this a little. I know my wife's first reaction when I told her the news about we'd made an arrest is she said, why did it take so long? And I know that's a question people have asked you. So why did this take so long?
Well, it took a couple months, which, and, you know, some of these investigations take longer than that. But there were a lot of things that had to take place. We had to go and we had to find the dogs. We worked with animal control to find the dogs and isolate which dogs we think were the attacking dogs. There were some blood samples. There was an autopsy that was performed. And these things take several weeks. All these things combined take several weeks. We had a number of conversations. We talked to a number of witnesses. The report, a very well done report, probably 35, 36 pages, and it details who our investigators talked to. Again, there were witnesses that were there at the time, and then we wanted to talk to other neighbors in the area to get a sense for, is this a one-time thing? Was this something that you know, could have been, certainly should have been avoided? And so these things take some time. And then we did have a conversation with Ms. Taylor as well.
And that was one thing I appreciated that you pointed out yesterday is that most of the time on animal control calls, you find the owner and the owner is just ashamed, embarrassed, tried, something went wrong, you know, whatever. Most animal owners are fairly diligent. But as you well know, there are some who are not. And particularly my experience is people live in the country, have more of the attitude like, you know, well, this is the country, these are the dogs, this is kind of how it works, which I always think, well, that's fine until a kid gets bit, you know, or somebody gets hurt, right? That's where it's no longer acceptable. But for one thing I had questions on, were they pit bulls? Do we know the kind of dogs that were involved? Were they all the same? Do we know?
No, they were.
They were all pit bulls.
They were mixed
breed
pit bulls, yes.
Okay, and John Robinson had said that she had had dogs and then they removed them and had other dogs and then removed them. Like, this is a pattern of behavior, right? This is what you guys established?
Yeah. Well, you know, animal control was called out to the house, to the location, several times. And as John mentioned, or would mention, at times they've taken dogs from that property and then she would get new dogs or different dogs or whatever. And she would continue to have dogs, and the dogs would continue to be a nuisance. And by nuisance, I mean an aggressive nuisance. We talk to neighbors, and they talk about the dogs would attack an individual in one point on a bicycle and actually bit him, where there was conversations that an individual warned her, I told you those dogs were, you know, we have text messages, we did search warrants on various conversations. I told you those dogs were going to get you in trouble. You have got to get rid of those dogs. And then another person was trying to help them, help her out with an alibi. Tell them this or tell them that to try to avoid responsibility. And that's what it really boils down to is you've got to be a responsible pet owner.
Is there any process for preventing somebody who's had these kind of violations from having dogs? Is there a legal remedy to make this stop ahead of time?
I would think probably the judiciary may be able to do something like that. I'm not aware of any rule or statute that would say you can no longer have a dog. But again, I'm not the animal expert. That's why you know, John Robinson was kind enough to come up there with me yesterday to answer those types of questions, because they did a lot of work. They did a good job of working with this thing. And then this is kind of one of those things that crosses agencies, basically. It was we were working the death investigation, but we're not dog experts or animal experts, so we incorporated animal control with us, and obviously we wanted to talk to the state attorney's office because they have to prosecute this case. They have to feel comfortable enough. And when I looked at the report, I mean, I was very confident that our investigator did a fantastic job. Investigator Vincent did a fantastic job with the investigation. It's, you know, every time I read about the case, I just shake my head because it was not necessary. It was right. Because there were so many opportunities for this dog owner to stop this in so many ways, really. I talked a little bit yesterday, and I think you played a little bit of it. There were holes in the floor that the dog could get out of the trailer. The kennel was dilapidated, and they just allowed these dogs to roam free. You do a lot of bike riding. Yep. My family and all, we like to walk around the neighborhood and stuff, and I'm always leery about someone else's dog. You know, you can't put a leash on a dog. Of course you can put a leash on a dog, and I think that whenever you you have certain dogs, a certain number of dogs, I think that they're larger dogs, I think that you have a greater responsibility. If I used to have a Chihuahua, believe it or not, my wife actually had a Chihuahua.
And, I can't believe that, yeah, actually. And if not so much for you, but for Susan.
Because how mean they are, yeah. But, I mean, we weren't as concerned about our dog getting out and killing someone. We were concerned about our dog, you know, nipping at somebody and mm-hmm. getting out and just getting hurt themselves. But I've also had a Doberman in the past, and I knew that this dog, I really have to make extra precautions. The dog is big enough to jump over the fence, certainly willing to dig under the fence. So I had to put, to solidify that and make sure that the dog understood that's not where you go.
I know the assistant state attorney is going to make the charges they can make, and the case, you always will make the case you can make. I've said this morning a couple of times. To me, this particular case is worse than what I think a negligent manslaughter charge handles. I especially think, like, had it been a kid, I mean, you know, this is so much worse. And it was somebody's kid, you know, it was an older kid, but right. You know, somebody's person. Are you satisfied that the level of punishment, even at the maximum, is going to be adequate to this particular case?
I will tell you that throughout this time, we had a lot of conversations about what is the proper charge. Mm-hmm. The charges would range from misdemeanor to a second degree felony, and then there's this negligent manslaughter, which is what we ended up going with. And this is very rare. We only found one other case where someone was charged with manslaughter, and it's pretty much the highest case, the highest charge, at least, that we feel like we could provide in this situation. So I'm satisfied. I think that that there are some things that anger me, quite frankly, that she should have done, and that her whole circle of friends that trying to help her, this and that. There are some things that I just shake my head at and think that a reasonable person would have done more than that. But I do believe that ultimately when this goes to trial in the state attorney's office and they do a judge trial, jury trial, whatever they do, I think that the charge fits it appropriately. Whether the sentence is going to be appropriate is up to the judge,
right?
And to some extent the jury. But I'm satisfied that our investigators and within the, you know, the boundary of the law, that we've done everything that we can do. Yes.
Just one last thought on this subject with the dog attack homicide. Is manslaughter. What I would assume that your advice to dog owners, pet owners in general, is secure your dogs, be reasonable, protect your neighbors, do what's right, do your job.
Well, I always tell people if you follow two words of wisdom, common sense and decency. And so if you use those things, common sense would tell you that if you're going to own a dog, if you're specifically going to own a large dog, a home protection type dog, that's going to do more than just bark, then you have to understand that dog could get out and that dog could injure someone. We do a lot of people have pools in their backyard, and there's mandates that you have fences around them, and you have to a higher level of responsibility if you have a pool,
right?
Especially if you have small children in your home or neighbor's home. And I think the same thing happens with when you have pets. And we honestly go to dog calls all the time. We are not animal control, but we always go to dog calls, and it's typically dogs barking, but there's a lot of roaming dogs around here, and you'd be surprised. You maybe not being a
not me
ride your bike a lot,
but I know it's surprising. It was surprising to discover. Yes.
Yeah, I don't think people that don't get out as much understand how many dogs are just roaming free and how much work animal control does. I will tell you what, I'm not getting onto the county commission or anything. I just think that you could probably at least double the size of animal control, and they would still have calls backed up. And the job that they do with the manpower that they have is just, to me, is just incredible.
And I'll say this as well, that I believe the last time I checked, there is a law in Escambia County that you cannot use an outside, like a ground tether, for a dog, which I assume was put in by people wanting to prevent animals from getting hurt or left alone for too long of a time. Mm-hmm. But every time you make it harder to secure an animal outside in the interest of, like, you know, pet care, you are also giving people the opportunity to just let a dog roam free, because the easy solution to that they don't have available to them. So that may be something that our Escambia County Commission might want to reconsider in the future, in terms of what sort of regulations there are on how you would have a dog outside safely. Well, we did have one other case I definitely wanted to mention. Just it was a horrible story. I think I'm saying the name right. Kavian Nettles, charged with, I mean, a sexual battery and choking out a woman in Escambia County. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the report that we've got, that they were sitting together. He made a comment, some advancing type comments about her. She says no, to a point where, according to her, he choked her out. This tough guy decides to choke her, and to a point where she went unconscious at some point. She woke up, went to her neighbor's house for help, and we were able to, we found him at his house a short time later and arrested him for sexual battery. Just terribly, terribly tragic.
And this was not they're not in a relationship. This is sort of,
as I understand, it was an acquaintance but
okay.
not certainly an acquaintance at the time, yes.
Awful stuff. Well, we're totally out of time, and we haven't had much of a chance to talk about Operation Brownsville, which is still ongoing, right?
It's ongoing, yeah.
Maybe take a second and tell people kind of where that's at.
Well, again, we're going about 60 days, and we have a community calendar, if you will. It's up on the Escambia County Sheriff's Office webpage that shows that what other entities, our partners that can come in and put the information and the things that they're doing, so that we can all look at, if this is something maybe the Sheriff's Office can be involved in, or something the community can be involved in, something the religious community can get involved in. And remember, we have, I think June 16th, we have a movie night. Sheriff's movie night is going to culminate some of this stuff. There are some things that are taking place that we're doing that we're not putting out there. We're working with the Pensacola Police Department on some warrant sweeps and some drug sweeps and some different things, but we're not letting the bad guys know exactly where we're going to be and when we're going to be, but rest assured we're out there.
Little bit of element of surprise for the right purpose goes a long way.
It's no fun policing. Doing a search warrant if they know you're coming. That's just the way law enforcement goes.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff, as always, Sheriff, thanks so much for the time. Thanks for what you do for our community. I appreciate it.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 549 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're thinking about getting a vehicle, look, the way Dave Ramsey says to do it and the way I say to do it, because I've done it several times, is you buy a car that's a year or two old, low miles in good condition, best price you can get, and then drive it until the wheels fall off. That's how we do cars. That's when we got our Honda Odyssey. It was because we were getting rid of the high mileage. Many, many years, 15 years we had owned it. We were not the first owners. The Grand Caravan that we had before that, the Honda Civic that I drive is actually my third Honda. My first one I drove to 330,000 miles and sold it running, to my mechanic who used to fix up cars and give them away to poor people, as a charity. And so, yeah, and I think I've got 180,000 miles on my Civic now. Like, that's the way we do cars. Okay. So here's the thing. If you're going to do it that way, where do you go to buy that car that's a year or two old? Well, Frontier Motors. That's what they specialize in. They specialize in the Dave Ramsey, Andrew McKay special, which is the car where you don't buy it new. You buy it with low miles, a year or two old, and then you can drive that car forever. Now, if you want to drive it for a year or two and then trade it in for something else that's a year old, that's fine. You can do that too, obviously. But getting those cars at great prices with outstanding customer service, that's Frontier Motors. Serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Jackson's Cooking Class, Mother's Day, Father's Day, the Fish House Beer Fest, and other fun things and promotions you won't want to miss. That's all today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Hot Glass Cold Brew is Friday night at the First City Arts Center. Get an artisan glass and fill it with craft beers. Enjoy live music and glass blowing demonstrations benefiting FCAC's gallery, 10,060 artists. More at firstcityart.org. Pensacola Parks and Rec present the inaugural Spring Arts and Crafts Show, Saturday at Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Center. More at visitpensacola.com. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory to our truck to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Tune in tomorrow at 10:30 to the Pensacola Expert Panel, where guests Haley Lotz and Tricia Sheridan from Pensacola State College's Continuing Education Program will be on the show talking about enrichment courses for the community, courses like tennis and kids' college, and so much more. That's all tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10:30 with Pensacola State College.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3, 95.3, and on the AM dial at 1620.
Now go do that voodoo that you do so well.
So, sad day yesterday. It does happen a lot, but Channel 3 said goodbye to a couple of years that she has been on the air. Kelsey Coffey is moving on to another market. Yes, she is.
You just met her!
I know that. And if I actually found out about this at Shred-a-thon. She and I were talking. She's going to North Carolina, and but, you know, they say goodbye as you do. This is really very sweet. This is them talking about this yesterday.
Television news, by and large, is a transient business from you know, come and go a lot. And here on the morning show, we have said goodbye to many, many coworkers. But occasionally, we say goodbye to a friend.
Whew. Okay. Promise not to cry. Kelsey, you are a brilliant talent. But even more, you're a brilliant human being. See, I'm getting so emotional. I can't say how much the whole team adores you, respects your work ethic, but more than anything, your bright spirit. You're an absolute gift to your next station. They got to cut me off, girl, but thank you for being part of our team.
I say thank you as well. Good luck and Godspeed on your next endeavor. We will be missing you.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Oh, she is genuinely, she's adorable and sweet and, you know, sharp and great reporter and, you know, I'll miss her in the mornings, and she's running around with Jason Roberts, and you know,
Robbins, yeah.
What did I say, Roberts? I'm
sorry. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, no. I know it's weird because you always see. Maybe she's sick of getting sent out early in the morning. You guys should just give her a break. Oh man, that rocks! I love Kelsey and Jason.
Such a good, you know, friend, and he's a good, you know, friend of the show, and he's always sending the stuff, and you know, he's the best, and somebody else will be here, but it's just, yeah, I don't know. You know, you get used to seeing and hearing people. I get that. It's sad.
No.
Speaking of which, David Wayne is leaving. No, just no, he's here forever. Right, David?
That's right.
Except that's right.
You're stuck with me.
Except his hair left.
His hair is gone.
Some of it.
Not all of it.
It's getting hot. Florida summer is coming.
That's true.
Can't have long hair.
And yet the beard remains.
That's right.
I've never understood that.
Got to keep something.
Beards are so hot. I mean, in the like heat way, not in the, you know, attractive way.
But it gives me a real convenient place to, you know, store my food for later. So that's good.
Wow. What's going on in the newsroom, David?
Well, Governor Phil Scott has signed a bill expanding Vermont's end of life law, allowing it to be accessed by people living in other states. The law passed in 2013 and allowed medicine to be prescribed to end a person's life if they'd been diagnosed with a disease that would cause death within 6 months. However, until the governor signed that bill yesterday, it was only available to people who were residents of Vermont. Former President Trump could be skipping at least one of the first few Republican presidential primary debates. The New York Times is reporting that Trump will either be skipping the debate in August in Milwaukee or the second one at the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library in California. And, well, we talked about it yesterday, and it's come to pass. I don't know how we're going to handle it. Television shows are being affected by that writer's strike now, and they're ceasing production temporarily. Let's see here.
All the late night shows.
All of the late night shows.
Daily Show had a new host on Monday, and then they had Cal Penn from 2 months ago on Tuesday. It was the rerun. So, yeah, all the late night shows are all on reruns now.
So, how are we going to do it? How are we going to handle it?
I don't know. What shall I? And Saturday Night Live.
Actually, I haven't seen a late night since I started seeing early mornings, so I guess I probably won't even notice.
Oh, can I be super mean for a minute? Like, this would be the first time ever for me.
For a minute.
For just briefly and momentarily. This was the NBC report this morning. You ready? Okay, this is... You may not catch the meanness right away, but I'll help you.
Right now, we are just beyond 24 hours into the largest writer strike in more than 15 years.
Corporate greed has got to go!
Hey, hey! Corporate greed!
Along with increased pay and better compensation for streaming content, writers are raising concerns about the impact of artificial intelligence as bots like ChatGPT pop up across the internet.
Okay, number one, I understand the concern about being, you know, the ChatGPT is it's ridiculously good and it's only going to get better and the voices and all of that. But you're kind of acknowledging that your work is no better than an AI. And you're kind of proving it with genius writing like this.
Right now.
Corporate greed has got to go.
Hey, hey.
You know, the picket line for the writers of the comedy shows should be fantastic. Like, that should be the best thing on TV, is their chants and slogans. And instead it's, hey, hey, ho, ho, corporate greed has got to go.
It sounds
hey,
like
hey,
they're saying cornbread
ho, ho,
green, A.
Corporate greed
but yeah,
has
but they're
got
going back to what? Silkwood? Hey, ho, ho, it's got to go. I mean, come on, dude.
The most
you can't
boring,
write anything else?
Yes, yeah. Like, prove your worth. Entertain me with your picket line chants, you know?
Why don't you have a chatbot write one for you.
Well, even that chatbot would do better than, I think. So, yeah, that's my... Look, you're not making the case of your essential worker status when that's your creative contribution to the effort. Just saying. 558 on News Radio 92.3. I know it's mean, but, you know, well, whatever. I'm Andrew McKay. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's a gift.
Just is. Hey, if you're 64 turning 65 and you're trying to figure out what to do with the conversion over to Medicare, look, it's really a lot easier than it seems. It's not something to stress over, even though I know the you can get phone calls, you can get letters and emails, and it can feel stressful because people are trying to pressure you. Okay, I've got a really good friend. I've known her as long as we've lived here. She's actually sweet, unlike me. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body. Ricky Stewart, and it's true. Right, Candy? Just
100%. She's the nicest person you've ever met.
I have no idea why she likes listening to the show, because she's super sweet. But anyway, she'll help you with this. Her whole family does insurance. She does this slice of it with Medicare. Ricky Stewart, you know, Advantage, prescription drugs, if Medicaid it makes sense for you or is it fit for you, all of that stuff. She can handle it for you, and it's very simple. 341-2185 if you want to give her a call, or just look her up online, Ricky Stewart Insurance. Coming up next hour, man, I mean, we have so much. Plus, Admiral Kyle Kozad is going to join us to talk about base access at 6:35.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.